The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. We have a lot to get to on this Tuesday. Pedro Gomez will be with us in about 12 minutes at 10:20 a.m. Pedro and I need to get caught up on exactly what is going on with the buyer and in terms of Major League Baseball. Are they going to play here in Arizona? There's actually a new plan that's being kicked around where they could play in Houston, Tampa Bay, Miami, Arizona. Bad idea. The more you put guys on planes, that's a bad idea. So I want to talk to Pedro about what's going on behind the scenes after this trial balloon was sent up in the air about a week ago now about baseball being played here in Arizona. It seems to me, it just feels like that is the most feasible way to go about things. Also, Eric has a class of 2020 vision player that he is going to bring on board. That's at 10:50. Devin is going to be with us on the show today, Sport of Speed, Devin Henry from our staff. He actually competed last night. If you missed yesterday's show, Devin was invited to compete in an iRacing event. And he competed last night and he won. And he gave some money to charity or a grill, I think it is. But whatever, Devin's going to be with us at 10:35 because, I don't know, let's bring Eric in. I don't know about you, partner, but last night, my phone at about 8:45 suddenly just goes crazy. And it wasn't about Josh Christopher committing to ASU. I know you want to get to that. It was Devin winning his iRacing event last night. Like, he was losing it. It was beautiful.
So I kind of shut down the engines around 7:30 last night and took about a two-hour break from the phone and the laptop and everything. And then when I checked my phone right before I went to bed, Devin posted the video of he and his family when he's racing. And I swear, Brad, I probably watched that thing five times.
When we say Devin loves racing, Devin loves racing. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's why he's on staff, because he has such a passion for it. But guys, it's like the e-gaming thing. All of you guys are gaming. One of our guys won a national event last night. That's it. End of story. Drop the mic. One of our guys won a national racing online event.
The best was, Brad, the family in the background. They were all like celebrating like they had won the lottery or something. It was great.
So Devin's going to be with us at 10:35. And we're trying to figure out how we can show the race. I don't know if Iron Man's going to be able to do that or not, if Devin can figure it out, but we want to show, because by my way of looking at the race, I had no idea that he even won. There's all these crashes and burns, and like all of a sudden you hear Devin saying things like, that's Devin, and he won? But I digress off that. All right, opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. You guys know it by now, and if you don't, that's with life insurance. Do you have your life insurance in order? Have you ever even thought about life insurance? If you didn't come home today, if something were to happen to you, would everybody around you be protected? Have you looked into Peace Assured? You guys, when you watch the news on like a Saturday or Sunday, and they start with a car wash is being held to pay for somebody's funeral, that's what Peace Assured is all about. People don't want to think about it. They don't want to talk about it. It's a reality of this day and age. If you've got kids, guys, handle your business. Log on to Sagicor Now. That's at Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. We appreciate Sagicor. All right. So Josh Christopher is now a name that you need to know today if you're in the Arizona sports scene. Josh Christopher yesterday committed to the Arizona State Sun Devil basketball program. Josh Christopher reportedly, you know, okay, I've seen plenty of guys that haven't made it. And I've seen guys, obviously, that have. But this is supposedly a better recruit than James Harden. Now, Eric, are you geeked and over the top about this? Because this is real sports news. This is not biospheres. This is not maybe, sort of, possibly. Josh Christopher.
Well, to start with, Brad, yes, it's nice to have a nice meaty sandwich to dig into on today's show instead of speculating and looking at a menu and trying to decipher, do I want it on wheat or do I want it on sourdough? We have a five-star meat sandwich to consume this morning. And I'm looking at it more as pie in the sky. Let's say Remy Martin and Romello White both come back to ASU.
Yeah.
I mean, if Christopher is as good or nearly as good as everything that I've read and seen, ASU could be scary good in basketball next year.
Okay. For 1 year, right? I mean, the way that this is playing out, the way that I'm reading it, it's so you have Marcus Bagley, who's supposedly better than Marvin Bagley, better mid-range game. We'll see, right? So then you have Romello White. I think of the two, Remy's got to return. It's not a swipe at him. But how do you project yourself as, if you're an end of the second round guy, or you're a free agent, which may not be the worst thing in the world. I just don't want to hear about Remy Martin 5 years from now riding around on a bus in Brussels because he thought it was time for him to get out, when I think that he could continue to work on being he's a sixth man, in my opinion. He's a guy that is not going to be a point guard in the NBA. And I've been wrong before, been wrong lots of times. And there's guys like TJ McConnell, people looked at when he was at U of A and said he'll never make it in the NBA. And guess what? He's going to have a nice, long package when he's done playing because he keeps hanging around and signing with teams.
But what's the difference, Brad, between TJ McConnell and Remy Martin? TJ McConnell is a pass-first point guard, and the NBA likes pass-first point guards because there's plenty of guys in the NBA that can put the ball in the basket.
Yeah.
So Remy's not going to be able to just jack up shots like he does at ASU. And that's not to say that he's not a great player, because he is a great player. But he's still going to be 5'11 next year. It's not like he's going to jump to like 6'3, I don't think, in a year. So
they could get him those thicker shoes, right?
Maybe.
Grow him, but in Romello White's case, okay, you're talking about a big that seems versatile, that feels like he could step into a lot of different places in the league if he's in the right system. And when people say, well, nobody thought that Dort should have turned pro, and look, he played at Oklahoma City this year. Yes, you are correct. But I think for a big to come in that can do the little things, and it feels like Romello's gotten better. But to your point, I'll go off your conversation. If those two come back, and now you add Josh Christopher, a five-star guard, the greatest player to ever come out of Mayfair High School in Long Beach, the most impressive part to me of Josh Christopher's story is he stayed at one high school. He didn't go to Sierra Canyon like everybody else did. You know, Zaire Williams commits to Stanford, and there's conversation that Zaire Williams and Josh Christopher are on equal footing, that Christopher may be better in certain areas. I don't know on this. I know that Josh Christopher said no to Oregon and Michigan and UCLA and Kansas. I know that he's probably a one-and-done guy. You pointed out that his social media is unbelievable in terms of how many people follow him and watch all that stuff. Is he coming here just to keep the bench warm for the NBA for a year? You know, just come here and just kind of put himself down, play for a year, get his minutes in, and do what U of A has done through the years. Is that where Bobby is going with the direction of the Arizona State program? It's, I'm going to go get a bunch of one-and-dones and see if I can make a great run. And I would simply sit over here, as I've done the last, I don't know, 10 years if you're a U of A fan, and say, I don't care how many five-star guys you get. I don't care, because you never win. You never win big. And so it's not impressive to me, the number of stars. What's impressive to me is Final Four, not Sweet 16, and then they're gone. What did you do for 4 months? You gave people false hope.
Yeah, I think the difference, Brad, is John Calipari is the master of the one and done, but yeah. He's gotten to Final Fours, and he's won national championships. The difference with Sean is, you know, Sean had DeAndre Ayton, and they lost to Buffalo in the first round of the tournament. So, like, that's the big difference.
Well, and you can go back through Stanley Johnson and all these guys that fans get all, oh, look at how great we're going to be. And you never do anything, right? It's just been this constant one-year deal. Like, there was more interest and buzz from my U of A friends in what their women's program was doing this year than what the men are doing or tried to do this year, because they're just sick and tired of being preached to about five-star this and five-star that, and all they do is come into Tucson for 6 months and leave. So is Bobby now taking that approach here at Arizona State? I guess the other questions that I would have, just going down the roster, you and I think, are on the same page that Tayshaun Cherry has been a player that drives us both crazy. Physically, there's something there. Emotionally, mentally, it's like a kid. And then he got hurt this season, which might have been the best thing for him because he started to turn the corner. He wasn't trying to intentionally trip players. He wasn't pulling his jersey out and putting it over his head. He wasn't acting like a petulant little kid. So how's he going to be next season? Are there enough basketballs for all these guys? You know, Remy's going to come down the court and he's got, you know, Josh Christopher over to one side. He's got Marcus Bagley over to the other side, and he's got Tayshaun Cherry on the baseline, and Remy's going to jack up a 27-footer. How's that going to work?
One of the things I found interesting was there were some rumblings inside ASU basketball that Romello White didn't think he got the ball enough, which I would agree with.
He's right. There should be rumblings.
If he's looking at jumping to the NBA, maybe this is the tipping point of, well, I guess I could come back to ASU, but I'd be nothing more than like a rebounder and an inside defensive presence guy. Because like you said, they're just adding more guys that can score. Alonzo Verge can score. Remy Martin can score. They've got plenty of shooters. So who knows what Melo's going to do?
Okay, so where's Jalen House in this conversation? Where's Woods in this conversation? It just transferred in.
Right.
Yes, it's nice to go deeper. It's nice to go deeper, but I think trying to get all these guys to play together, and of course fans and people that are trying to get clicks saying all the nice things to ASU basketball fans, I don't think they're going to go down this path of, are there enough basketballs for this group? And it's a very fair question to ask, because Bobby's never had this type of talent before, ever. So, you know, how's it going to work? And are we just going to see three guys come in here for a season, or two guys come in here for a season and then say, yeah, I'm out of here. And a year from now, let's just say Romello and Remy come back. Okay, we'll go down that path. Those two come back. Christopher's here and Bagley's here. And all four of them next year are gone. Now where do you go? All of a sudden, yeah, you had a stacked team for 1 year. You know, a kid like Jalen House, is he going to look around and say, I don't think I'm going to be able to play here?
Maybe.
So, all right, Pedro's next. Pedro Gomez on baseball. He's going to Skype on in from his house over in Ahwatukee. We'll talk with Pedro Gomez, ESPN's Baseball Insider, via Skype next. All right, let's do a deeper dive now on what exactly is going on behind the scenes in baseball. And Pedro Gomez joins us from his home via Skype. He, like me, we're all bushed out. That's the way this goes.
The Corona beard.
I like it. I got fuzz going. So, all right. So it's been really quiet since last week's trial balloon, in my opinion, was put up in the air to say, hey, what do you guys think about playing in Arizona? So what is going on behind the scenes as we sit here today since that trial balloon has gone up to get baseball back in play?
The Players Association and Major League Baseball, and let's not be naive here, the Players Association has to okay anything that is accepted by the owners. So they're kicking around all these different ideas so that if and when they're given the green light to go play, they can hit the ground running. That's why you hear, we'll play all the games in Arizona, or we'll play 15 clubs in Arizona and 15 clubs in Florida. There will be no American and National League this year. It'll just be truly a cactus league and a grapefruit league. And so what they're doing is they're just kicking ideas around to see what kind of might be the best answer to what's going on. And right now, there is no best answer. It's almost like the movie Argo. This is the best bad idea we have.
I've even heard, Pedro, of Houston with a dome, Tampa. that they would just play in the southern part of the country with warm weather cities, including Arizona with domes. So let's just go through each one of these. That sounds like a really bad idea. A. B. Splitting up leagues and divisions, that sounds like a really bad idea. So we get to see, which is here in Arizona, and yeah, we're here in Arizona, but it feels like this is the one that makes the most sense of everything that's been kicked around.
Well, and the reason it makes the most sense is because you're eliminating airplane travel. You have everyone in one area where all they'd have to do is get on a bus, get to a minor league ballpark or Phoenix Muni or Grand Canyon, whatever they decide to use. Chase Field obviously would be one of the venues as well, and play a game. So you're eliminating the travel aspect. But of course, at this point, we know that just eliminating travel doesn't mean you're completely safe. Mm-hmm. And that's the bigger issue here. I think that baseball and all sports are truly facing, how do we get beyond the safety factor? I don't know that we're at that stage yet.
Pedro Gomez with us. Okay, so trying to start baseball during a pandemic, is this a bad look by Major League Baseball?
In all likelihood, yes. That will probably be a bad look. They would look for someone else to give them guidance and give them the green light that, no, you're fine. You can go and play these games. But the reality is that there is this is all brand new territory. Nobody knows anything really about how to prevent this from happening. It could be the simplest of things. And, you know, regardless of there being only a certain amount of players on each club playing in a stadium, we know that there's also support staff. There are people in the clubhouse. There are coaches. There are managers. There's videographers. Even if you eliminate all the fans and all the concession workers and stadium workers, there are still other people associated with this. And of course, there would be testing. But that, as we know, just because you test negative on a Tuesday doesn't mean you can't be positive on a Wednesday.
So there are players, you mentioned Players Union earlier. Mike Trout, they're expecting as a couple in August. Garrett Cole's expecting in June. Those two guys are really in a tough spot in that, okay, I don't want to be here with my team. I want to be with my wife as she goes in. They could go on disabled list, maternity leave, whatever term you want to use, right? But there is this space of two of the biggest names in all of baseball are kind of sort of saying, yeah, I don't think this is a great idea, but I'm not against the game. Help me out with those two guys.
Yeah, and look, I would add Chris Bryant to that list, who he and his wife just had a baby earlier this year. So that baby is only 2 months old right now. You're going to tell me Chris Bryant's going to be completely comfortable leaving his wife and brand new baby and being gone for 4 or 5 months? These are obstacles that are big. And if somebody leaves to go be with their wife, to go be at the birth of their child, can they then be reintroduced into the entire scenario? I know that testing can be done, but like we've said, it doesn't always show up right away. And these are big, big obstacles. And, you know, look, Mike Trout is the biggest name in the game. If he says, I'm not playing, you know, he's got enough financial wherewithal to say, I can absorb a year away from the game. It's not going to kill me. But there are a lot of players who are not in that same situation. You know, when there's a work stoppage looming, the first thing the Players Association does is it alarms the players. Listen, there could be a work stoppage next year. You need to save as much money as possible, because if there are no games, you need to have a backup plan. Well, this was a lightning bolt that hit in the middle of spring training. No one saw that this was coming and was going to be as serious as it is. And look, I know that a lot of fans believe that players are all millionaires. That is not the case. Yeah. There are plenty, plenty of players who make the major league minimum or who have not made the full major league minimum yet and don't have the type of money available to be able to withstand this. Owners likewise get money if the games are being shown on TV. So let's not be naive. Money is going to play a role here.
Okay, at the end of the day, a couple other questions with Pedro. I appreciate you Skyping in. At the end of the day, pitcher's on the mound. He's got his hand on a ball. Pitcher has his hand on a ball. Ball gets hit the bat to the shortstop and puts his hand on a ball that he spit on earlier, and he throws it to the second baseman, who throws it to first base to get the double play.
Rubs his eyes.
Okay, so So how does baseball overcome that side of it? And is Rob Manfred, Rob Manfred was on Fox Business News this morning. He sounded like a guy that was, we really want to put our toe in the water, but we know it's going to hurt. When does the perception we touched on earlier versus the reality hit? Is there a drop dead date from your view or what you're hearing?
No, not at this point as we sit here in mid-April. There still is not that doomsday date out there. You know, this is a excuse me, a league that can certainly probably get away with playing a 100-game season, you know, 110 games, 90 games. You can still have a season, so to speak. So there's that, that has been pushed back. There's also been an informal agreement, let's say, between the league and the Players Association that they might be willing to go all the way to Thanksgiving and play in warmer climates like we were talking about earlier, in order to get the games played. So they definitely have time on their side in order to be able to just say, let's wait and see. There is no drop-dead date yet like there was in 1994 with the World Series when in, you know, mid-August, Commissioner Bud Selig said, there won't be any playoffs this year, there won't be a finish to the season, and there will not be a World Series. We have not come close to reaching that date yet.
Okay, last question, and that is, you're a great reporter. Reporters are not really supposed to espouse opinions, though in this day and age, they are everywhere. In your opinion, seeing this, what is the best foot forward for Major League Baseball, in your opinion?
You know, the way, excuse me, Brad, the way things look right now, it might realistically be one of those cases where there is no 2020 season. And that would be horrible on so many fronts. But I think at some point you have to say what is the best case scenario rather than the worst case scenario. The worst case scenario being that you start games played and all of a sudden people are infected, players, coaches, managers, staff. That's a worst case. The best case scenario is nobody gets infected because there was no season this year. Or at least if they do get infected, it's ancillary to being on a ball field or at a ballpark. It might just be one of those cases where there is no 2020 season, Brad.
Appreciate your time. Stay well. Stay safe. Thanks.
All right. Good to see you.
You too. There's Pedro Gomez. And we continue on after this timeout. All right, so we've been grinding. All of us have been grinding. You've been grinding. We've been grinding. We're all in this together. And when there's a moment of a little bit of levity in all of this, of being at home and a virus, and all of us being screwed up and housebound and all that, when there's a moment of levity, I like to share it. I think that we do. Is the world of fun and games. There's times to bring the sledgehammer, there's times to bring the fly swatter, okay? This is just pure, flat fun. This is sugar that we're going to show you here. So Devin comes with us, Devin Henry from Sport of Speed here at Sports 360. Of course, Devin does AZ Audibles, does a lot of things, but racing is his passion. And so Devin was asked to be in an e-racing event, and he competed last night. Here's what Devin did on a national scale last night.
He's going to make it a 2x2 battle for second. The 07 of Martin is now going to sneak up in line. Hill all alone, no one to help him on the outside. Calamity Corner, the white flag is out. They're going to race it to the line. And Tony Stevens spins Galvin. Galvin goes around. He's going to collect the field. Yes. Tony Stevens, it's going to be a battle between the 38 and the 92. They come into turn three. Galvin now, or Stevens, looks to the outside. Hill to the inside. Hill gives Stevens a bump. They both wreck. They wreck. Is Hill going to make it?
Here comes the 77, though, at the line of last minute. Looks like he might get the race win. Chase Henry out of nowhere is your race winner here tonight.
What a finish. What a finish. Checkers and wreckers.
Oh, my lord. In the 19, a Kyle Souza finds himself sitting in P2.
My goodness gracious, talk about Chase Hill coming out of nowhere to go home with a big green egg. the leaders took themselves out, and Henry was the catcher.
Chase Henry started the last lap in 12th place.
All right, so this was Devin. That was Devin last night. And Devin joins us now. Eric, jump on in on this as well. I guess we're supposed to bow down. Congratulations. what was this event, first of all? What was it you did last night?
So this was put on by Rob D'Amico, a part of the Big Green Egg. They do a barbecue and stuff. And he's also a large part of NASCAR media. And so with all the races going on right now, IndyCar has their real drivers racing, NASCAR, IMSA, F1, they're all doing the same thing where their drivers race. So he wanted to reach out to the NASCAR media community and ask, will you race? And so we had members from the NASCAR on Fox digital team. We had Dylan Welch, who's a pit reporter on NBC Sports and MRN. He's also an actual race car driver too. And then of course they had iRacing announcer for NASCAR. And a bunch of other national outlets. And so I asked on Twitter, hey, I'm just a local guy. Can I participate? And they're like, yeah, sure, whatever. The last thing I thought was going to happen was I was going to win the race. But so we kind of just picked like the most basic car at the most basic track that everyone owns on the iRacing platform. And they said, boys, have at it for 60 laps. And I don't know what happened there at the end, but I managed to win the race. And so they actually had everyone pick a charity, and they are auctioning off one of their own Big A grills, and the money goes to charity. And the charity that I happened to pick was Ability 360, a group who we partner with here at Sports 360 AZ. They do amazing things all across the state of Arizona for communities, helping people with any sort of disability to help kind of grow themselves and be able to get out in the community and do things. And so I don't necessarily have all the details right now, but I guess that I just raised some money for Ability 360, and that was the last thing that I expected to happen last night. So it just feels kind of crazy, the fact that it happened, and it just feels so good to be able to do that for a local group here in Arizona who's doing amazing things in so many communities.
Okay, Eric, what did you think when you saw Devin racing and winning last night?
I felt like I was at a NASCAR event. No, honestly, I did. There were so many people screaming and people running around in the background. It was like Devin and his whole pit crew were celebrating this virtual win. Is that even the right terminology?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. I'm glad we get to see this again, because this is cool. This is good stuff. No, but it's most importantly, number one, it's cool that you connected with them through Twitter. That shows you that social media can be a powerful thing. And number two, the money that's being raised is going to a great cause. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, so how do you get good at this? Do you sit there when you're not on the air doing stuff with us and just race? Do you do this in your backyard?
I do. I wish I did it in my backyard. I don't have the internet connection for that. But yeah, this is something just like anything else. This isn't like a video game on easy mode. These cars, and this is the last lap, this is why I drove through. Somehow, I didn't make car contact with anyone here. And then this part right here, I was so happy. I was like, I'm going to finish third. This is so cool. And then you can see out the window, this is what I saw when these leaders crashed. And so all of a sudden, I'm going, I can win this race. I can win this race. And that was later right there. And this is when I started screaming, because I was 12th on that last lap. The last thing that I expected was my mom kept yelling from the other room, they're going to crash. I was like, I didn't expect all 12 cars in front of me to literally crash. But yeah, this is something just like anything else that you work at to get better at. And I've had a few wins here in some meaningless races. And it's just a matter of getting better and learning how cars actually react, because this was a long race on tires. So you actually have to know what the car is going to do when the tires actually start to wear off. And that's something that I actually ran into late in the race when someone bumped into me and actually put me in the wall. And that's why I was so far back. And then, you know, these guys out here running and gunning, and this was the view.
Diggity, diggity, biggity, boogity, 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 let's go racing, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's what he says. This is awesome, and we're very, very, I mean, this is just so much fun. So we're going to let you go off this, celebrate your victory, congratulations, and it's great that you did it for a great cause at Ability 360. You have a great heart, and I'm glad that you're one of our teammates, and enjoy your day.
a scraping part of this team, and it was great to actually have the logo on the car too. So that's pretty cool. So yeah, thanks guys.
Take care, Devin.
See you, Devin. Oh man, I love that. That is, I had not laughed that hard last night and hearing Devin just losing his mind because he's in the midst of it and hearing him now describe it again. That is priceless. Eric, what do you have coming up next?
We're going to catch up with Michael Diaz. Michael Diaz has signed to play baseball with Santa Clara. He was a two-sport standout at Brophy, played for Jason Jewell's really good Brophy Bronco defense. And I'm just going to ask him how he feels now that his senior year of baseball got cut really, really short due to COVID-19.
A 2020 vision with Eric on the other side. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Brad Sesmat Show. I am Eric Sorensen, and as we continue our 2020 vision segment, we are happy to be joined by Michael Diaz, outstanding linebacker from Brophy College Prep, also a standout baseball player who is on his way to Santa Clara to continue his baseball and academic career. Michael, it's so good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Just been, you know, at home, like everyone else, just hanging in there with the family. Just hanging out, online school, and doing as much as I can to get ready for the next baseball season.
Now, in terms of having your schedule and your routine just completely flipped upside down due to COVID-19, how has that been adapting to that? You mentioned online schooling, and I know Brophy is really proactive with keeping everyone involved through the online programs. How has that transition been, being around your family like 24/7, not being able to see your friends, and obviously not being able to participate in sports?
Well, it's been different. I mean, in the beginning, it was a very different, especially with the online school. Not much different being around the family. It's been kind of nice, especially since I have a couple more months till I leave. But as in terms of school, it's been a little different, especially getting used to like attendance and getting into classes and stuff. It's just been like each class, at least for me, has different attendance schedules and how they want you to come in and show that you're actually there. So that's a little different, but I mean, it's kind of a routine now. We're on spring break actually right now, or like a virtual spring break, I guess. So we don't have school this week, but and last week and all that, I was starting to get used to it, and it's kind of become like a second nature to me.
Cool. Well, let's rewind back to the football season. I haven't seen you or talked to you since the season opening win over Liberty, which turned out to be a really good win considering they went on to win the 6A state championship. How was the first year playing for Coach Jason Jewell, a good friend of mine?
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, coming in, the seniors and had to take a lot of leadership, especially, you know, kind of rallying the underclassmen around us. And it was fun playing for Coach Jewell and the whole new coaching staff and everything. As far as me and my linebackers, we grew really close with our linebackers coach and Coach Jewell. And all the coaches, I mean, from the defensive side, we all grew really close together. And, I mean, you know, we did some really great things this season. We were wishing, obviously, it could have a different turnout. But in terms of Coach Jewell and playing for him, it was just a great experience. And glad we could get him, you know, a very good first season under his belt and stuff and started his career.
You mentioned those linebackers there. You were a pretty salty group. I think you had like 65 tackles, a couple interceptions, and I know the other guys that you played with were also seniors. Could you tell before the season started that was going to be one of the strengths of the defense?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, so those four guys together, I mean, we trained together, all in the offseason together. We're all good friends, best friends. I mean, we hang out all the time. And coming into the season, we knew like we were going to be – at least, you know, we were confident in our group that we were going to be kind of leading the defense from the defensive side. We had a lot of experience too. We played most of us last year, our junior years, and played at the linebacker position. So we were confident coming in this year that we'd be able to make a statement. And you know, I felt good that we did very good this last season. And, you know, it was just a great group of guys.
I know off the field when I talked to you last spring, You kind of introduced me to the dungeon there at the Diaz household. A real nice weight room. I think it was in your garage, or is it? Did you guys? I can't
in
remember.
The
it's in the garage.
Yeah.
How much have you been just living in there during COVID-19? Because you can't go out and lift anywhere else. You can't go to school.
Well, that's definitely been a big blessing to have here. I mean, I've literally in there every day at least 2 to 3 hours every day max. Whether it's like once I finish the lift, I'm just staying in there doing extra stuff as much as I can, because I mean, you know, having that's definitely been like a very big thing to extra asset to have. Definitely very blessed to have it. And I've just been taking full advantage of it. You know, just using it as just a good tool to get me ready. And I mean, in terms of being in there, I mean, it gets to the point where, you know, my parents are like, it's time to get out. Let's go. Like my mom, just, you know, we're always in there. Me and my brothers are always in there, and it's just one after other. So definitely getting put to use really well. And, you know, it's just awesome to have.
Okay. Let's turn the page now to baseball. You and I were talking off the air. It sounds like you got to play about 8 of your games this spring with Brophy. And then it's like someone just pulled the plug on spring sports, on spring school, on spring everything. Take us through your emotions when you realize that you're never going to put on that Brophy baseball uniform again. And it wasn't because the season ended with a playoff loss or anything. It was just, you know, things out of your control.
Well, our last game was against Desert Vista. And, you know, obviously after the game, you know, you don't think this is our last game. Like, I didn't go into the game thinking this is going to be my last game playing Brophy. But, like, towards the end of that week, as we as like the coronavirus outbreak started to happen, and like our principal started to address it more and say we're possibly canceling school, it kind of came to like mind that possibly our season could end. But I really didn't like register it until, you know, the final, like until the AIA made the decision to completely cancel. Because when AIA had that original meeting saying they were going to postpone it, most of the guys on the team, I mean, all of us, we were just like, okay, we're just going to kind of wait it out, hopefully maybe get in our conference games and then go right into postseason. But once that, once it started to go on and we weren't hearing anything, school was canceled for the year, it kind of started to, you know, not look too well. And, you know, when it ended, I mean, I was just kind of shocked, because it wasn't like, at least for me, when football ended, it was just like a sad emotion like I had never felt before. But with baseball, it was like kind of an ongoing emotion, like throughout weeks, kind of just waiting to hear. And it was just, you know, really sad, because I was really looking forward to playing our last, you know, our last few games and playing conference, because I love the conference that we're in and the competition we go up against, and leading this team to a postseason, which was the ultimate goal. And, you know, I was just, you know, very saddened that, you know, I wasn't going to be able to be a part of that. And our team, we only had 5 seniors. So, you know, us seniors were really looking forward to, you know, leading this team. And, you know, it's just kind of a bummer now. I feel bad for the other seniors as well, as, you know, they didn't even know this was going to be their last game of baseball. So, you know, it was just a very big shock. Was not expecting it. You know, I just feel for all the other seniors that won't ever get to play again. And then the juniors as well, that, you know, we're looking, this junior year is the biggest year to play, you know, in terms of recruiting and all that.
Okay. Last question. How have you and your friends been dealing with all of this mentally? Has this been a grind on you? Has it weighed on you? Just the coronavirus and everything that's just, I mean, you're going through in high school what no one my age or anyone even near my age has had to go through before. How have you been dealing with that just away from school and sports?
Well, definitely, you know, it's definitely hard. You know, I like to see my friends as much as I can. You know, obviously, because, you know, you're not going to see them after this year. But, you know, I've taken advantage of hanging out with the family a lot more, spending time. But, you know, I I've seen my friends, you know, here and there, kind of out, some baseball guys, you know, when we get together and maybe go throw or whatever, a hit. But, you know, it's been difficult, you know, not seeing like guys that you see every day, and especially guys that you see at school that you don't necessarily hang out with all the time out of school, but, you know, you're still friends in school. And because with Brophy, guys live all over the valley. So it's not like everyone's in your neighborhood. It's, you know, 30 and 45 minutes away. So guys that are far, and some guys can't, some of my friends can't even leave their houses. So it's definitely been different. But, you know, just kind of taking advantage of hanging out with the family and being around them.
Very nice. Well, first off, thanks for joining me. Secondly, stay safe. Best of luck next year at Santa Clara. I know you're going to do great things on the baseball diamond when you guys get back to playing. And I appreciate it as always, okay?
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That was Michael Diaz from Brophy Prep, two-sport standout, great linebacker, also an outfielder on the baseball team who is going to Santa Clara. That is today's Brad Sesmat Show. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m.